You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports show.
Bam's on, bro.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart, they're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome into episode number 67 of Babes on Broad. I'm Sam Wilson with my co-host Jesse Taylor, and we are the Babes on Broad, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. You should all know our social medias by now, but if you need to find us, go at Babes on Broad on all social media platforms. Now let's get right into it. The Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday Night Football at home, 28-22. Yes, I think one of the reasons I'm most upset about that game is the fact that obviously all year we've been talking about they need a run game, they need a run game, where's Miles Sanders? And last night they had 21 rushing yards in the first half, 20 of which came from Jalen Hurts. Miles Sanders only saw the ball one time in that entire half. Mm-hmm. And obviously we were losing, 28-7 at that point or something after that, or going into halftime. And then they come out. It was okay in the third quarter, but towards the end of the third quarter, that's when you really saw them get Miles Sanders the ball. And that's when we started seeing them catch up, and they had chances, and it got close. And it's just so frustrating because you're like, it makes you wonder, if they had Miles Sanders getting the ball all game long, would this score have been a different outcome? Because they definitely had a chance to even win it all the way to the end.
There's you don't win games in the NFL, and you don't sustain winning in the NFL without running the football. I mean, look at a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, for example. I mean, obviously, you know, they're not playing well to start the season, but in looking at the grand scheme of things, like when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes, your first thought is, why would we ever run the ball? But they still have a balanced attack to their offense, and it is why they are successful. Think back to 2017 when the Eagles had guys like LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi back there and Corey Clement as that three-headed monster that they had going on. They were just demoralizing teams with their run game. And then the passing game just did enough to win them games and then win them a Super Bowl. And that is how they were successful. And since that game, since the Super Bowl in the 2017-2018 season, they have completely abandoned that mentality. And I think that's why it's as frustrating to me as it is, because ultimately, yes, I understand that we will get into our issues that we have with current coaching staff, but we've been yelling about this and screaming about this specific issue for the last 4 years. And in that time, we have traded our quarterback and we have a new quarterback here. And in that time, we've also completely revamped the entire coaching staff, complete overhaul from top to bottom. And it's still the same issues. So it's not necessarily a coaching issue. It's the way that this organization is run, and it's the way that they want this team handled and built and operated. And it is not a recipe for winning. It's not going to deliver wins.
No, and I agree 100%.
Miles Sanders.
It's so frustrating because, like you said, any team doesn't, even if you have a fantastic rushing or offense or a fantastic passing offense, it's, you need balance. And like you already said, you see that on every team, even Kansas City.
Right.
And they're successful. So I think what, like, that's obviously frustrating. You already mentioned it. The other part that's killing us is this coaching. And it's so frustrating, I think, to me, is the same problems we were saying last year, which, I mean, you've already brought it up, were about Doug Peterson. It was so frustrating because that was obviously the worst year we saw of him coaching wise.
Right.
And we just get a new start and a new fresh beginning with Nick Sirianni, who most of us questioned the hire from the beginning. But then this guy comes in and he looks maybe even worse than Doug Peterson last year.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of issues with this team, but like I said, it starts from the top. Like, ownership are morons who don't understand anything football related. The GM is useless. And the head coach, he's just a puppet and a bad one. He's not a good puppet. Like, it's all of these things that are leading to their, like, it feels like they're stunting Jalen Hurts' growth.
Oh, 100%.
And it's just, it's so sad to watch, honestly, because from the beginning, you know, everyone, we were hoping it wasn't the case that Nick Sirianni was going to be this yes man puppet for ownership. And it's looking like that's what he is. He is just not fit to call an offense. Like, Jalen isn't playing well, right? No one's saying that he's playing extremely well right now. Last week, he was not playing well, but when it counted most, he came in and led him down the field and stepped up, which was amazing to see. And we'd love to see that. But Jalen right now, you know, he's not seeing the field well. He's not making good decisions. He's not making quick decisions. And how does Nick Sirianni combat that? He's like, yeah, let's continue to run these RPOs that gives Jalen Hurts all of the, that's forcing Jalen to make the right reads and make the right decisions and completely ignoring the run game. Like, a run game is a struggling quarterback's best friend. Like, why are we still going through this? Why are we still having these issues? We were hoping that we were going to see something a little bit more fresh and exciting from a new coaching staff. And you just said it, and you're absolutely right. It's worse.
Yeah. And that's one concerning thing, Jess. So, like, how you were saying, it's obviously he's being a puppet. And before, when we saw Doug doing this, we were like, okay, it's just because they are out on Carson Wentz. And, like, we told ourselves that's the only reason. But now it's really concerning because they have this fresh start, the new head coach, the new quarterback that's young. And he has potential, although I am nervous. I'm getting nervous because, I mean, they're not helping him. But Jalen Hurts, his arms, he's not too accurate. He doesn't have the arm strength, really. I mean, I guess he showed it here and there, but it's not consistent. And his field vision, very concerning. But back to my actual point. Sorry, I jumped ahead there.
You're good.
But no, so it's concerning because when we saw Doug Peterson being the puppet, we were like, Carson's out. That's fine. But now it really makes you wonder, because if they are just a puppet, the people that they're masking are obviously just idiots. Like, they do not know the game of football.
Right.
And that's like, how do you escape that if it's your GM and owner?
Right. And for a coach that talks so highly about himself being a former wide receiver coach, wide receiver guy, how come your wide receivers aren't open or can't get open in man coverage? They can't. They weren't. Anytime that the Bucs were in man coverage last night, not open. Not open even remotely. Why are your wide receivers continuing to make dumb decisions? Like when Quez Watkins last night stopped running, which caused an interception. I put that interception on Quez Watkins 10 times out of 10. I understand that Jalen absolutely is having accuracy issues, but had Quez Watkins kept running and not tried to jump for a ball that was a mile over his head, when the corner read that ball like a wide receiver, that's not an interception. It's things that just infuriate me because it's stupidity.
Like, it's stupidity left and right. And then it's a guy who is like, oh, yeah, play calling is my area of expertise. And I'm a wide receiver. And I know the wide receivers. And I'm going to coach up the wide receivers. And I'm going to call plays and design the offense to my player's strengths. I see none of that.
None of it.
None of that. And I also think that, you know, it is important to note that this is still Jalen Hurts' 10th start. That was his 10th start. And we, you know, another thing that, you know, he's dealing with, and could it have an impact in why they abandoned the run game so quickly? Maybe the offensive line combinations. I went back and looked at it this morning, and the Eagles have had, in Jalen Hurts' 10 starts, they have had to shuffle the line 4 times because of an injury in the game. And he has had 6 different starting offensive lineups in front of him. Like, he started week 1 with Mailata Seumalo, Kelsey, and Brandon Brooks. Week 2, you lose Brandon Brooks and put Dickerson in there at right guard. Week 3, you have Seumalo carted off and no Jordan Mailata. So you have Andre Dillard. Seumalo gets carted off and Nate Herbig goes in there. Jason Kelsey, Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson. Then week 4, Lane Johnson is a late scratch and we haven't seen or heard from him since. So you have Andre Dillard, Landon Dickerson at left guard, Jason Kelsey, Nate Herbig, Jack Driscoll. Then week 5, Andre Dillard is in there at left tackle. Landon Dickerson got hurt at one point and Nate Herbig comes in. Jason Kelsey, they put Jack Driscoll at right guard and then Jordan Mailata. And then this week they had Dickerson at left tackle again, Jack Driscoll at right tackle. And this was actually one where Landon Dickerson was okay. And this was a repeat start. But then you go back to last season and it's the same thing. Forget about the fact that when he came in against Green Bay, it was Mailata Seumalo, Kelsey, Jason Peters at right guard and Jack Driscoll at right tackle. Then the next week you have Herbig at right guard and Jack Driscoll at right tackle. Then the next week they pull Jack Driscoll or he got hurt. I don't even remember, but you have Matt Pryor at right tackle and he gets obliterated. Then at one point then at one point Jordan Mailata got hurt and they had to pull him for Brett Toth at left tackle. Like the combinations of the offensive line that Jalen Hurts has seen, you used to talk about this all the time on the Fanatic with Trey Thomas. And I think Trey Thomas, shout out to Trey for going in the Eagles Hall of Fame, would give some of the best insight on how horrible these offensive line combination struggles can truly, truly be for an offense in so many different ways. So I think it's really important to put that in there as well, because people that are out so quickly on Jalen Hurts in his 10th start with this coaching staff that's doing him no favors in an organization that's going to continue to do him no favors, they also have these issues as well. It's really just frustrating.
No, 100%. And it's like, how do you expect to get in the flow, you know, without a offensive line? And that's really like, it comes down to getting in your vibe, like your flow kind of feeling. And then also just the comfortability, the confidence and knowing they have your back.
Yeah.
And that's what's so tough. And like last night, he was getting a lot of criticism, Jalen Hurts was, because he was getting out of the pocket too early. But how do you expect him to have the confidence to want to stay there if he doesn't know the guys in front of him? So it all goes round circle, but it is really very, very interesting to why, like, I mean, obviously the Eagles were notorious for having injury problems, but what is the struggle with keeping an offensive line? It doesn't make sense to me. You can't even just say that it's injury related at this point, I feel like. I mean, I guess, a lot of it is, but then also you have Lane Johnson going out. You have this guy. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah. They just constantly have these struggles, and I'm totally with you. Like, they were the offensive line was getting blown off the line of scrimmage last night. Like, they were getting bullied last night. And I understand that the Bucs have a decent defensive front. Their secondary is not great, and they're also hurt, which makes it even more infuriating why last night went the way it went. But they've got a good defensive front, and in those kinds of situations, I understand why you might be scared to run the ball, but that's what Nick Sirianni said all week as well. He was like, oh, well, they've got a really good defensive front. Like, if Nick Sirianni was just scared of the defense and didn't run the ball, he should be fired on the spot.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
I think he should be fired, but that is an immediate fireable offense.
You at least try to run the ball more than one time in the first half, because look what happened last night. It was like later in the third, they try to run the ball. Oh my gosh, Miles Sanders is going off.
Right.
And then it's too late.
They're getting blown up in pass blocking. How about you try run blocking and see if that helps? Do anything to help out your essentially rookie quarterback. Anything. Anything at all.
It's tough to watch. And it sucks. It does suck for Jalen, because even I am starting to question. I do think Jalen's still good enough if he's in the right organization, has a good coach, and has the weapons. I still think he has the right weapons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that offensive line needs some work right now. But I think he's still in the right spot to be successful. He doesn't need to be some Pat Mahomes that's incredible and making moves. If he just fills that marker and does what he's supposed to do, he has enough, if he has a good coach that utilizes it,
right,
to make them successful. He has the good weapons right now. Watkins is going off. Rager, Smith, you have all that. And then you also have Gainwell that's a two-way threat. And then you have Miles Sanders who's good back. So they have no excuse. Like, just literally dumb it down and let them go through the motions.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. I think Jalen could be the guy. But what concerns me is who we're relying on to help him grow.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me the most, because I think he could be the guy, because he's this freak athlete who can make plays, and we've seen him do it. There are things that need work for sure, but those are things that can be improved upon. Like, you can teach accuracy. You can help a quarterback learn how to read the field better. You can't teach being a freak athlete. So what concerns me is if this organization puts Jalen in the right position and puts the right people around him in terms of coaching staff to succeed. And that's what genuinely worries me the most. And you know, this year, I get it's a rebuild year, and I was on board with that going into the season. And I'm on board with seeing things and thinking, wow, that was really frustrating. But those are correctable issues. And then seeing them get corrected and seeing the progress going forward, we're seeing the same thing week in, week out, and it's actually getting worse. So that's what's really frustrating, because I would love to know what on God's green earth they work on all week.
100%.
Ugh, awful. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to answer some questions that we got on our social medias this week. You are listening to The Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back into episode number 67 of Babes on Broad. So we went through yesterday's game. We usually preview in the second half, but because we have like 10 days until the next game, we're going to do that later in an episode next week. But right now we got some rapid fire questions. Just hit us.
All right. Did the Eagles make a mistake not hiring Eric Bieniemy, or is it too early to tell?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think Eric Bieniemy is a genius. I don't think they could have gotten him if they wanted to, because I think he's very comfortable out in Kansas City, but he was my number one choice.
Yeah, I think the offense is not as nearly as frustrating, and I think I'm not able to call the plays from my seat in the stands looking at where they're lined up. It's horrific. Can this team get hot with the remaining schedule they have?
I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I mean, it's not looking good next week in Vegas. Well, actually, Vegas.
So they're in Vegas.
Yes.
Then they're in Detroit. Here's the game they have left. In Vegas, they play in Detroit. They play in Denver. They play the Saints here. Then they've got the Washington football team twice, the New York Giants twice, and they have the Dallas Cowboys again.
Okay.
That's what they have left.
So I can see 6 wins. I'm going to go with 6 wins out of that.
Really?
Yeah. Good for you. Have more than that?
No, less.
I think they could do the Saints. They have Detroit, Denver, Washington football team twice, and I think they'll beat New York once. I think they'll get upset. And then Dallas is just way outmatching them right now.
I think that Denver is going to be a really tough game because they're way better than anyone thought they were going to be this year. And by that point, they might have some of their weapons back and be healthy. The Lions have been in every game that they are playing and that they have lost. And it's come down to like very last second field goals and plays and things like that. So that concerns me that the Eagles, it could go either way on that one because of the poor decision-making that's going on throughout. The Saints are a much better football team than anyone thought they were going to be. And the Raiders, I think that could be a really, I think the travel's hard.
Yeah,
I think the long break for the Eagles is a positive, but that one's a toss up for me. I think they could take all four against the football team and the Giants. They could. I think they could sneak one against the Cowboys in late December, early January here. I think it's possible. Anything is possible. But
you're right, because that's why I have them beating the Saints, because I think they are going to get a big upset this year. Because I mean,
okay.
And that's just my team. I think they'll get it against.
Well, they also play the Chargers here.
Oh no, that's a loss. That's an L. We're
They're
just
playing not even... so well.
Jeez. But I mean, that's the thing. Is like it's hard to tell because you see glimpses. Like last night,
right?
You would have thought I would have said that they were going to get blown out by the Bucs,
right?
You know what
Dead
I mean?
In the water,
and they had a chance. They missed a field goal. They could have only lost that game by 3 points. And if they utilized the run earlier in that game, who knows what would have happened?
Yeah,
it would have took time away from Tom Brady, who like doubled their time of possession.
Yeah.
So if you ran the ball, it could have been so much different.
I mean, when you're sitting in a stadium for a Thursday night game or a primetime game of some kind, it's late at night and you're thinking about working the next day as an adult and you're like, okay, when do I leave? So I don't hate
myself.
We did
the same thing
tomorrow. So after halftime, you know, my brother and Joe look at me and they're like, okay, what is the plan here? What are you seeing here? I'm like, all right, the Eagles get the ball coming out the half. I said, if they lay an egg on this drive and the Bucks go right down and score and all of a sudden then the Eagles lay another egg and it's about to be 35-7, we're out of here.
We said the same thing.
The Eagles go down and score and all of a sudden,
they drag you back in.
28-14. And you're like, all right.
They drag you back in. They keep you there.
We're still right here. But, you know, that's the thing. You see flashes of it and it just, but they don't have an identity. You don't know what this team is on either side of the ball.
But,
we don't know what we're getting.
And it's so frustrating because on the offensive side, it seems so easy. It seems like literally it should be the early 2000s offense. To me, Jalen Hurts is so comparable to Donovan McNabb, but even runs better. And then you have Miles Sanders, who is Brian Westbrook right now. And you have offensive weapons or wide receiving weapons. It literally should be the early 2000s Eagles. Obviously, the offensive line's the wishy-washy thing right now because it's just a different combination. But that's what it should be. And they were the perfect balanced team with rushing and passing.
How happy do you think Five is that Carson Wentz got traded and isn't here to potentially like usurp his throne of being the best Eagles quarterback in recent history?
He probably is very happy, but
so happy, right?
He might be nervous of Jalen Hurts. I mean, in the beginning, but
who knows? We kind of touched on this, but just a question. What is your confidence level in the coaching staff? Is it lack of talent or are they just bad?
No, they have talent. They have the talent.
I think they're just bad.
They're just bad. They don't know what to do with it to develop.
If they would have played the whole game last night, both sides, like they did in the fourth quarter, who was? I think it might have been Rodney McLeod that said, oh, yeah, in the fourth quarter, we started disguising things more and throwing different looks to confuse Brady. And I'm like, what the hell were you doing before? Why are you just showing Tom Brady what you're going to do? It's Tom Brady. For the love of God, you throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at that man.
Literally.
Infuriating. Who is responsible for the irrationally pass-centric offense?
Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni, and my least favorite person on planet Earth, Howie Roseman. I think it's like pass happy, like heavy slinging offense, and like they just need to not, because they don't understand football. So, now this is one that hurts my heart a little bit, but we have to talk about it because it's been all over the Twitter, the Bird app this morning.
The Twitter.
Do you think the Eagles are about to send Zach Ertz in a trade somewhere?
It's looking like it, and I don't like it. Yesterday, he came off the field crying.
That would explain it.
It would. I have chills because of the grossed out chills.
The ovation that he gets when he comes onto that field. Last night when he ran on the field, we were just like, he loves being here.
I know.
He's so happy to still be here.
You know
here.
What? It makes me sad because obviously we love him so much, but part of me is like, go you. Like, you deserve so much better than this organization has given you. Okay. And it's just like, it's like when your sister or like brother breaks up with that girlfriend or boyfriend that you really loved, and you're just like sad they're not going to be around anymore, but you're like, you deserve better.
Yeah. You deserve better. You deserve better. Yeah. Oh, I love you so much. I have to let you go.
Yeah, exactly.
And last question. What position would you target in the 2022 draft, assuming they stick with Jalen Hurts?
Boy, I mean, if we have freaking three spots in the top 10, baby.
We trust Howie Roseman to make the correct decisions here.
No, I don't. I think maybe we'll get lucky and get one solid pick from those three. Right now, it's tough. Obviously, I think you have to say, well, yes, actually, number one, obviously linebacker, but we know that's not going to happen.
Linebacker, so
skip over that. But I think you would definitely need to hit corner.
Uh huh.
I'm not even going to say linebacker; that's the obvious. But they're not going to draft a linebacker that high. Right. So, corner, maybe an offensive lineman at this point. And then I think you can never. I don't know if I would either double up on corner or just get another weapon at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, in my perfect world that I know how he's going to destroy,
yeah,
I corner, linebacker, and then I think another tackle would be my thought process. That would be my ideal. I don't think we're going to get that lucky, but that would be my, I would not say a bad word about Howie Roseman for 24 hours until he screws up.
Want to know what's sad? Like, we can call that right now and say those positions that, and we're not going to get it. So,
I mean, I was nervous when they traded up and we're about to draft Devontae Smith. I was chewing on my nails because I wasn't confident that that was the decision they were going to make. And the fact that I was genuinely that nervous just says so much. And then I said that today, I won't say a bad word about Howie Roseman for 24 hours. And then he didn't draft Asante Samuel Jr. And I was right back to saying bad things about it.
So. Dude, and it kills you seeing what he's doing out there with the Chargers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what a crime it would be to have him in an Eagles uniform, huh?
Ugh,
it's horrific. But that is our episode for the week. So thank you for listening to episode 67 of Babes on Broad. Thank you so much for getting your questions in so quickly. We actually tweeted that like early this morning and late last night, and we got lots of questions, which was awesome. So thank you for that. Thank you as always to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Make sure, as Sam said, you're following all of our socials. Subscribe to BGN Radio on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, everywhere you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating, written review, all that good stuff. And we will talk to you next week.